It's a Fransky Friday. Scott Fransky, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, as we are live today from Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. Scott. From somewhere in Detroit, as the Phillies finish the first half. Long road trip, and it ends tonight, or this weekend, with a series against the Tigers. Scott, how you doing today?
Scott.
Well, I'm okay. We had a little late arrival here, believe it or not, but we're all here. We're in Michigan, and we're ready to go.
Well, I'm glad you're there and glad the team is, and hopefully a good ending to the first half here, Scott. A win last night behind Jesus Luzardo. But let's just start with one of the bigger stories of the week. Zach Wheeler, no All-Star game, getting snubbed. It really, Scott, it felt like multiple times, so just the way it went. I know a lot of this is the rule because he's pitching Sunday, but he was adamant and pretty passionate the other night after his start, how much he wanted it. What did you make of the whole week and the fact that still Zach Wheeler's not going to be an All-Star?
I don't like it. I don't like the rule. I don't like I just don't see why you can't just name him and replace him. The All-Star game, it's changed a lot over the years in terms of the size of the roster and the ability of these guys to play or pitch. You know, I mean, it used to be if you were a starter and you were in the game, you're going to be in the game for two at-bats, three at-bats maybe, and then some reserves would come in. It doesn't work like that anymore, so I get it, but I do think I just think there's got to be a way that you can just simply name the guy. If you think he's worthy, you name the guy and then replace him. And, you know, Zach said himself, he said, I can pitch. I pitch all the time 2 days after I pitch a game. I throw in the bullpen, so it's not that big a deal. But I don't see how you can name – they end up with rosters that are, 60, 65 names or whatever. And it's like, just name him. Name him an All-Star because you know he is.
Is it too late in the game to kind of change that rule, Scott? And what I mean by that is, like, being it's Friday, is it too late for MLB to kind of say, hey, we made a mistake, whatever they want to say, and put him on the roster?
I don't think it's too late. I think they can always – they can do whatever they want. If somebody got hurt – tonight, they would replace him, tomorrow, the next, they would replace him. I do think we're getting to the end of the line here, by Saturday, let's say, but I think there would still be time. And in Zach's case, he's flying back to Philadelphia on Sunday from Detroit, so we'll bring him.
he's on the plane.
Not an issue. Yeah. He's already got a seat on the plane, so.
Scott, Wheeler or not, and I hope they do find a way to get in there because he deserves it and it'd be a cool moment. The Phillies are going to have six All-Stars. I mean, they could have seven if they find a way to get Zach Wheeler on this roster, which is more than any team in baseball, Scott. And, watching last night, listening to you guys and the Luzardo start, it really kind of has framed this week between the Wheeler thing and now Luzardo just how high-end, Scott, the best players on this team are. Like, when you have more All-Stars than anyone, it says something. And I think all these guys that we're talking about this year, they're all deserving. Like, there's no Philly All-Star. You look at their stats like, No, all of them are All-Stars this season, including Luzardo last night. Scott, when you watched Luzardo last night, it just kind of hit me. I'm not sure how you felt watching him. Boy, this rotation, the top three, when they're on, they really are the best. They could be the best top three in all of baseball.
They could be. I haven't seen a trio that's necessarily better. I mean, obviously the Dodgers, when healthy, but not always healthy. That's the other thing about this trio is that they're durable. They've been durable. They bounce back. They eat up innings. They take the ball. They seem fresh. They seem strong. I think they're just the number of strikeouts is certainly eye popping, but the way they pitch, the competitiveness with which they pitch, I think it's a great trio. I think obviously the Phillies think all three are deserving of an All-Star nod, and I think we all know that they are. And it's fun to watch. It really is. I mean, obviously they need to get some other guys going. You mentioned it's high end. And then there's a gap, and they need to fill in some of those gaps.
You know what, Scott? We were talking earlier, and I guess Bryce Harper had an idea about bringing aluminum bats for the last 20 hits in the All-Star game.
For the gold ball for the home
for the gold ball in the home run derby. How do you feel about them adding aluminum bats if that was the case to the gold ball derby?
Okay, so just to be clear, that's not the case, right?
No, it's not the case. He was like, I guess he's trying to spice it up.
Yeah, it's an idea he had, yeah, that he relayed to Buster only.
I don't know. I mean, what, just so they go farther?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the idea, I would wonder how far Harper and Schwarber can hit him. I mean, maybe out of Citizens Bank Park if they had an aluminum bat.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some guys in there with unbelievable pop. Like that guy Caglione, oh my goodness, his batting practices, he might put on a real show.
Sound like you kind of want to see that, though, Scott, a little bit.
I think probably fans would dig that, right? I mean, how many balls can you hit up into the third deck in left? Certainly for those left-handed batters.
Mm-hmm.
There's some targets way up there, you know, Ryan Howard territory up there. Those guys are all strong enough. I think they can do those things even with a wood bat, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just worry about you do something like that and then all of a sudden it's so different. Maybe I know they're weighted and whatnot, but I just wouldn't want anybody to get hurt doing it.
Yeah, and that would be a concern because that's really too.
You mean like swinging too hard? You mean the fans?
No, the fans.
Oh, getting popped with. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, you gotta be careful out there. Scott Fransky joining us on a Fransky Friday. We're live at Chickies today. Scott, let's talk about the bullpen. I heard during one of the games, I think it might have been the first game of the Red Series, you on the broadcast talking about the bullpen in the last X number of weeks. Duran, zero ERA, and then everybody else in the bullpen, the ERA was over six. Now, last night, this series saw a couple things. One, Keller came back. And then two, last night, Bolin for the eighth inning. Scott, your thoughts on this bullpen in front of Duran and then Bolin last night. Do you think that was just Keller just got back, he can't do 2 days in a row? Or is Jonathan Bolin starting to put himself in the hierarchy now of maybe the trust rankings behind Duran?
Yeah, I think he's up there. When you ask Don Mattingly about who he trusts, you know, obviously he trusts Duran. Everybody knows that. But the other three guys, it's Bolin, Kirkring, and Keller. And I think to some extent he trusts them all. Now, Kirk had thrown a lot of pitches. He's been the eighth inning guy now here. He's had a couple of shaky outings. There was the one in New York. There was the one here the other night, or in wherever I am, Cincinnati the other night, that, you know, walked some guys. Command wasn't great. Threw 33 pitches. I do think they probably shied away from Keller just because he hasn't been back very long, but they do like the way Bolin's pitching. They also had Bolin up in the seventh inning, so they got him hot, and I think they're trying to maybe, you know, not, if they get a guy hot, if he's warmed and ready to go, let's get him into the game as well for the eighth. And given the other factors, you know, Keller's rust, Kirkering's unavailability perhaps, they felt like, let's just keep it with Bolin. So I like him. I think he's good, but I think they clearly need some left-handed relievers to step up or go find a new one because that's not working, clearly.
Well, you saw that a couple nights ago when they tried to get, you know, Ron Hell out of the game, and it just didn't work there with Tanner Banks. Scott, a question I didn't think we'd be asking this year, but I think it's gotten to the point where we have to ask it. Should we take the Marlins seriously? You know, I'm looking at the standings, and the Phillies have done a great job to almost catch the Braves, right? They're in position to be right there. But right there with the Phillies are the Miami Marlins with the exact same record. Scott, I think the only series they've lost in about a month was when they were here in Philadelphia a few weeks ago against the Phillies. Scott, what did you think of them then when we saw them compared to April and just in general, obviously what they've been doing in the month of June into July?
Well, I don't think they played particularly well necessarily. I do think they're a better team than some of those other mid-range clubs we had seen. And yes, you should take them seriously. If they've gotten to this point, almost 100 games in with that record, yes, you should absolutely take them seriously. They're in this race. Now, I don't know what they'll do going forward in terms of, you know, going out at the trade deadline and maybe adding pieces. I don't really know what their situation might be. Obviously, they have a really low-end payroll. I don't know if they've got more kids perhaps that they can bring up that they think will help, but absolutely I think they should be taken seriously because they've gotten to this point with the same record as the Phils. So if you're going to take the Phils seriously, I think you better take the Marlins seriously. Now depth always plays in, right? How well do you do? How can you keep it going another 50 or 60 games and keep yourself in the race? Injuries are a big part of that, so we'll see.
You know what, Scott? We're just sitting there thinking, and, you know, I know Andrew Painter has been back on the mound, and he's looking pretty decent right now. Is there any thought, two things, is there any thoughts about him potentially coming back up? And if he does, when you talk about that bridge to Deron, is it possible that you could probably put him in the bullpen, or do we still look at him as probably a starter?
I think they still view him as a starter, end of story. Now, again, if he was really good in the second half, let's say he comes back in August, for instance, mm-hmm. and he's been a really good fifth starter. Well, if he's a really good fifth starter, he might become your fourth starter. If he's a decent fifth starter, maybe there's that spot where you put him in your bullpen in the playoffs as a long man. I don't think they'll make him into a everyday type of reliever guy. You know, let's say, you know, like, for instance, Sasaki started at times and was in the minors and then came back as a reliever. I don't think we'll see that, because I don't think they want to put any additional, you know, strange stress on his arm coming back from injury, all these other things. They view him as a starter. Long term, he's a starter in their minds, and I just think he stays on that kind of path. Now, again, we're talking about hypotheticals that require him to pitch a whole lot better, not only in AAA, but then, you know, jumping back to the big league. So I think there's a lot of hurdles to clear there.
There are. We hope he clears them, and they probably can use another arm as this thing goes along down the stretch of the season. Scott, enjoy Detroit. We'll be listening. Final series before the break. Thanks for hopping on, and we'll catch up next week.
Thanks a lot.
Sounds good.
There you go. Scott Fransky with us there, as he is every Friday. The Sasaki thing you brought up at the end is interesting. You know, Huey, now he said he doesn't think the Phillies will do that, but there are some parallels. Like, Roki Sasaki was a young pitcher the Dodgers brought over from Japan. He did not have a great rookie season, right? Like, the way Painter didn't pitch well this year. But then they got to October, and they were like, well, we got all these other starters. What do we do with him? Our bullpen is a mess. He helped. I mean, I know Scott's saying he doesn't think they'll do that, but to me, they have to have that in their mind. Like, if he can help us win, he can help us win.
Yeah, if anything, you're looking for a bounce back. You're looking for something to help him, you know, number one, build his confidence and try to get him back up here.
Right.
You know, so if that's the case, then you got to do what you got to do. But I'm kind of with Scott. They still probably look at him as a frontline starter at some point, and so they're going to try to work that angle before they do anything else.
So just to put context to it, so last year Sasaki as a rookie for the Dodgers, 4.46 ERAs. I mean, better than Painter was doing, but not great. Then he went to the bullpen in the playoffs, pitched to a 0.84 ERA in 10.2 innings. I mean, he helped them win the World Series. Now this year he's back to the rotation. We'll see where his career goes. But I think there are some parallels there. 215-592-9494. Today we are live from Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly for National Crab Fry Day. $1 crab fries and $5 pitchers of Miller Lite. Proceeds benefit the Philadelphia FOP charity. Do the Sixers need LeBron? Your reaction to all the Philly stuff? It doesn't seem like you like this Bryce Harper idea. Scott's into it.
No, man, I didn't understand it. Now that I have a better understanding of what it is, it's just, I get it. I mean, it sounds exciting, but he's talking about the injury factor for the people involved.
Well, I will tell you, so I'm going. I'm going to be sitting behind home plate. If they're going to have an aluminum bat, I'm glad I don't have myself and the kids in the outfield. Because the ball will scream to the outfield. That like I'll watch it from
a lawsuit.
I'll watch it from behind home plate.
Yeah, it's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Well, I don't know if it's a lawsuit.
They got hit in the eyeball. Somebody sue, you know, people sue for everything.
A lawsuit. You're going to a home run derby. You got to pay attention.
People.
Head on a swivel.
Yeah. I mean, you would think.
Well, I would say the home run derby is not one of those things to have your head in your phone. Like, if you're in the outfield in the home run derby, pay attention. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to the phone lines here. To the Sixers need LeBron. And we have intel that LeBron is listening today. Your pitch to LeBron James. Best one we hear today wins a pair of tickets to tonight's HBCU Swingman Classic at Citizens Bank Park at 7 p.m. Aaron is in San Diego up on WIP. Aaron?
Good afternoon, Philadelphia. Thank you.
Aaron, what's going on?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, a funny thing happened last night. Mm-hmm. The wife and I were sitting at the bar, and we're having an adult beverage. In front of us, there was this bowl of peanuts. One of the peanuts says, "Wow, that's a great head of hair you have." Another peanut says to my wife, "Wow, you are smoking hot." Curious, I called the bartender over and says, "Hey, dude, what's going on with these peanuts?" Bartender looks at me and says, "Oh, those peanuts? Complimentary." Oh.
Yeah. got it.
Oh, my gosh. It's awful.
You didn't laugh, though. Like the last
I mean, it wasn't funny.
Oh, okay.
But I got it. I caught that one.
Are we now just working material? Is that where we're
going to? I mean, see, he says, I guess he says since we got him a laugh track.
Yeah.
Okay. That's Kyle's
fault. So, hey, Hugh.
Yes.
I understand where this whole, you know, Joe Giglio fanboy LeBron James is coming from. I think there's a little hint of jealousy, you know, with the fame and fortune that you gained from your hold the line bit with A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I think Joe saw an avenue, and I think he stuck to this, you know, bring LeBron James here, you know, this hold the line, and it's just not hitting like it should. You know, do the Philadelphia 76ers need LeBron James?
Yes.
The answer is absolutely not, okay? Would LeBron James make the Philadelphia 76ers better?
Yes.
Maybe. Would they?
We need to time out on the
no.
Maybe. What do you mean maybe LeBron James would make the Sixers better? I mean, are we serious? Maybe?
He's 42. Is he going to be on the court or is he going to be in the training room, dude?
Where's he been his whole career? On the court. Whole career is on the court.
It doesn't, Joe, matter.
Sure it does.
Okay, because he's not coming here. It's not a championship tour for him next year. It's a retirement tour.
That's fine. But the idea that maybe he would make them better is the most preposterous thing anyone has said on this radio station the entire week.
Well, hold on. I don't know if it's like chemistry and basketball matter, does it not?
But you think he'd make them worse?
I think there's a middle ground between making them better and making them worse.
I just think we're overthinking this, guys. This is a great basketball player.
Well, maybe, but I mean, maybe. I'm just saying, like, it's not completely preposterous to suggest that it's not a lock that he'll make the Sixers better.
Well, I do. I mean, now, okay. is it enough of a lock that, or enough of a needle mover that you're willing to do it? That's where we all kind of differ on this. But I, Aaron, do think he makes them a better basketball team. I mean, I've never seen LeBron James on LeBron James has been on winning teams his whole life. Whole life. Like he's going
to
come here. It's not going
to
work.
Listen to what Kyle is saying.
See, I don't
not
like
about
I don't like
the Sixers next year. Every game, it's going to be a sideshow.
Yeah, it's
with
about me.
What gift is the team giving LeBron James? The one thing that LeBron James loves to talk about is himself. And when you make it all about yourself, it's not a team, man. And this. Gansey has a plan. We got to stick to the plan. It doesn't include LeBron James.
Again,
on the outside.
Gansey's so, trying to get my, LeBron James. We did this yesterday. You keep saying Mike Gansey's got a plan. Yeah, hold on. You keep saying Mike. Listen, the Sixers know what they're doing. Mike Gansey knows what he's doing. Mike Gansey is pursuing LeBron James. Am I missing something here?
No, I think he's just doing it for smoke and mirrors. I think he
has. Oh, sure.
The way that he worked the Jaylen Brown, trade where nobody saw it coming. I think he might have something under his sleeve, and he might be working something on the side and using LeBron James as just a smokescreen.
We're using LeBron James as a smokescreen. The Sixers are. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. So what would be your pitch to LeBron, Aaron?
All right. So it's a Michael Jackson classic.
I don't give a shit.
Just beat it. Nobody wants you around here. Just beat it. Beat it. Just go ahead and disappear. We'll beat you and we'll kick you and we'll make you disappear. Just
I like how he did that on the fly.
Yeah. Shut up, Baron. That's enough.
God.
Aaron.
I'm okay with that. I mean,
okay
I want him
that?
Here, but I'm just saying that the
I don't
the
think you want LeBron here. I've gone the other way on this.
It's the artistic version
it's
of
clear.
His song.
It's clear, Hugh does not want LeBron.
You don't want LeBron.
No, I do want him. No. It would be exciting.
Not,
you're,
not
you
bad
know
enough.
How exciting
not
between
bad
your
enough.
How it,
you don't want it bad enough.
And backing Aaron?
I don't want it bad enough.
After that
Kyle,
crack?
You don't want him at all. So
right.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, so
at least
it takes one to know one.
10 toes down.
Come over to my side, buddy. I can tell.
I want LeBron.
You're closer to me than you are Joe. I just see it. I can smell it.
I don't need him here.
At least Kyle's 10 toes down. I mean, he's 10 toes wrong, but he's 10 toes down. You're over here half-assing this and telling me about the Reading Terminal Market.
Excuse me, sir. Reading Terminal Market is the number one market in America. The Amish make some fire-ass ribs, like I told you. That's a hell of a pitch. And
Amish.
It's dollar craft fries. Do you see these craft fries that I'm trying to munch on and not chewing cows here? These tasty craft fries?
Yeah, that you're eating during the segment?
Yeah, I ate like one or two.
Yeah.
But I didn't chew heavy. But, yeah, the craft fries. And the back room at Chicken Piece where it's just the speakeasy. This is a nice area to play basketball.
It's wonderful.
And the fans will love you.
This would have been a great pitch at 10:40 when I threw it at you instead
of it is what it is. You caught me off guard.
I didn't. We set up Tri-Day. We talked about what it is.
Yeah,
I
mean, we did. But then you asked me where my pitch would be. And I was still workshopping it when you asked me. It caught me off guard with that one. But I bounced back.
Yeah, you are clearly in the same camp.
You didn't really bounce back.
I bounced back. My bounce back game is pretty strong.
I disagree.
I mean, Aaron singing that he doesn't want him was actually a better pitch than
it was.
Doing,
no, that was definitely not a better pitch.
Let's go to I'm sure Bam in Upper Darby has a hell of a pitch. Bam,
Bam singing.
I hope. Bam?
See.
Hey, Bam.
I mean, I even just checked in with him 5 minutes ago because I knew this was going to happen. Guy is the worst.
It is every time.
Yeah. It's every single time. He's never there.
Does Bam call during work? What do you think Bam does? What do you think he's like? You place the phone. I'm just trying to get into Bam's head.
Maybe a forklift operator?
No. You think Bam and Upper Darby is a forklift operator?
He literally can't see.
Why do you look at me like you can't believe I just said he might be?
No.
He's not.
No,
they got stuff.
No.
That's
OSHA,
a little dangerous.
OSHA is a thing. Yeah, they would not allow that.
Okay.
He can't see. He's not operating.
As far as you know.
No, well.
First fair. Of all,
are we
since
really
we're here.
Debate enough. This?
No, but first of all, first of all, there's been a lot of times that Bam says he's blind, but he says and he knows about certain things that lead you to believe that you kind of wonder.
Well,
I'm not saying he is.
To fabricate things, I will say. Bam.
That's all I'm saying. Yep. I don't know what Bam is, but it's fair to say that.
Not a forklift operator, though.
Sometimes Bam, you know, Bam says things that makes you wonder, okay, what's really going on?
Well, I get that, but there's no way he's a forklift operator. He's
not the first thing that popped in my
head. He's not a bus driver. None of these things.
Maybe not a bus driver. Maybe he's an Uber driver.
Would you get in that Uber?
Yeah, I'll ride with Bam.
Bam picks you up. You're getting in and going.
Yeah.
All right, he's back, we think.
Bam.
I don't buy it.
Nope, dropped off.
Damn.
Guy's unbelievable.
I didn't buy it for a second.
What is he doing?
All right, I didn't buy it.
What are we doing?
What are we doing? I mean, that's what I've been asking you for 2 hours. What's the pitch to LeBron James?
I'm saying come to Philly, win a championship. Enough said.
No, you gotta.
In the mortal words of Al Morganti. Enough said. Come to Philly, win a championship.
I've been tracking our chances to get LeBron on.
Yeah, now they're dropping.
They're getting worse. Every time Hugh has a pitch, it gets worse. We have less of a chance to get this guy. All right, coming up, 215-592-9494. We'll get to all your phone calls, including Bam, if he wants to get off the forklift and call us.
That's it.
We also, along with the LeBron conversation and the Phils, we want to react to a couple things Brandon Graham said this morning on Good Morning Football. Interesting stuff from BG this morning on Good Morning Football. Also, we do have something along, and we have the tickets to give away for later on, but it is a Friday here. You know what we do on Fridays, right?
Yes. Tri-day?
Besides that.
What else we do?
don't sound so enthused.
No, I'm just saying, I'm a little nervous. We do Tri-day, but then he said, what else we do on
Friday? Well, we also talked to Scott.
Oh, we talked. Yeah, all we right. did. We did that already.
I'm not putting you on the spot.
We did that already, though. Like, is this something?
You don't have to say anything. I thought you might remember we do the Fanatics.
Oh, yeah.
Fridays.
No, I got that. I was ready.
So
you were not. Were you ready for literally anything today?
No. Listen.
Why did you even show up?
No, listen. When he said it, I got the read in front of me, and I was getting ready to do the read.
You did know what I was about
to
do.
No, but when you said it, you made me nervous. Like it was something new. It was something different.
We do this every Friday.
Okay.
Every single one. Anyway, Fanatics Fancast Fridays are powered by Fanatics Sportsbook, America's fastest-growing sportsbook. Be the third caller on our station contest line, 445-544-8300. Right now, 445-544-8300 for your chance to win $100 in Fancast from Fanatics Sportsbook every Friday. Winning hits different here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
As world soccer hits the big stage, Fanatics Sportsbook is making every game they watch and phenomenal. Earn up to 10% fan cash back on your soccer bets, win or lose. That's real extra value. You can unlock every match all tournament long. Fancast isn't just for betting. You can also use it anywhere in the world of Fanatics. Oh, and on game day tickets, you can use it on merchandise, you can use it on collectibles, profit boost, and more. One ecosystem, endless ways to spend. Plus, New customers get up to $1,000 in fan cash. That's a $100 bet match in fan cash every day for the first 10 days. The world is ready. Are you? Fanatics Sportsbook, winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET. Not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.